think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And without further ado, we give the man who is trying to go 200 par on his second round and avoid being Tiger Woods an opening round at the Farmers Classic, one Kevin McHale. Coach, what's up?
Good, guys. Just, got to be a little shorter. We got golf today. It's a big day.
Easy for you to say a little shorter. You're 6'10". hey, I was just kind of prepping the audience. This whole LeBron thing, and I know our man Chuck went off last night on TNT, but your thoughts on a guy who won it last year, who basically has had the doors wide open and had him dictate a whole lot of personnel and otherwise since he's gotten back to Cleveland, now saying he needs more help?
Yeah, I think he's frustrated somewhat, but I think it's wrong-headed in this term. They're scoring enough. Their defense stinks. I haven't heard anybody say, I'm going to go out and get great defenders or I need some lockdown guys. They've got to play better defense. They're giving up 120 points to teams that they should not be giving up 120 points for. Would it be easier if they had a playmaking point guard? I don't know, because how good would that playmaking point guard have to be to take the ball out of LeBron James' hands? LeBron James is, one of the best passers in the league by far. And so, I don't know. I just think it's more frustration than anything else. And everybody gets frustrated at times. They're really not playing well. They're in a funk as a team. They've been in a funk now for a couple of weeks. So it's just kind of how you handle that. And I just think it's wrongheaded. I think really coming out and saying, hey, we got to play a hell of a lot better defense. And then if you're losing games 87-88, then you got to beef to say we need more playmaking and stuff. When you're scoring 125 points or 122 points and not winning against some of these teams, you got to take a look at yourself and your defense.
Well, Coach, and here's the other thing. They've done everything that he's asked them to do. They're the highest paid team in the league, cap-wise. He said he wanted them to re-sign Tristan Thompson at the number that he deserved and what they thought was fair, same agent as LeBron has. They did that. Last year, he wanted Shumpert and JR. They got him those two guys. They went out and got Korver this year. They continue to do the things that he wants them to do, but when is enough enough? And you, having sat in that general manager's chair before, that's a very uncomfortable position, to say the least, if he starts using the media to air out his beefs and start pointing fingers at the upper management.
No, I agree. I think it's really a tough position to put Griffin there in Cleveland, their GM. And, but again, I just think sometimes someone needs to sit down with them and say, I think you're wrong-headed on this thing, and this is where our issues lie. Unless, it's always, nothing gets accomplished when you have a problem and you don't solve that problem. You can't identify that problem. Their problem is not playmaking at the backup point guard position. Their problem is lack of defense. And I agree that they've done a lot of stuff, and they tried to make LeBron happy, as they should. He's by far the best player in the league overall, just for what he can do to a team. He can take an average team. I mean, you could put him on a lot of those teams that are 25 right now, 18 and 27. And they would be playoff teams with LeBron James. That's just how dynamic that guy is. But, again, I just think he's wrong-headed on this whole thing. And don't solve the problem. Don't just start griping about a perceived problem. That's not even the issue.
Well, Coach, hope you play a good game of golf today. But question is, do you think that they created this monster? Like, when they allowed him to, for one, get Shumpert his money, get all these guys the money they asked them for during the offseason, then they basically fed that beast, and that beast is now rearing its ugly head. So how do you not show him disrespect, but also pull him aside and get it done?
Well, I just think, like I said, I think you got to pull him aside and say, LeBron, that's not our problem. Now, you may think that's your problem, but if we start losing games 88-87, I'll agree with you. We're losing games 124-122 to sub-500 teams. That's not our issue. So I think you just got to be honest with him. Sit him down and just say, I see it differently than you. Or if you see it the same as him, say, hey, I'm trying like crazy to bring in a quality backup point guard. They don't grow on trees. They're hard to find. And, you know, but you got to be honest with the kid. You got to sit him down. And then the last thing you got to say is, LeBron, keep this out of the media. And if he can come out and just make a little mea culpa and say, hey, look, you know, I'm frustrated, blah, blah, blah. Hey, this team can win. We'll look at making any changes around the trade deadline. It'll go away. But if he doesn't kind of say that, it's going to hang around there. And I agree. I mean, they created the beast, but now you got to sit down with them and talk to them and say, let's not have this be the story. Let's have our play be the story.
Well, the story here, Coach, is the Rockets are struggling like the Cavaliers are, and you mm-hmm. know as well as I do that game the other night against your two former teams, one as a player with the Celtics and then, of course, with the Rockets, squared off. Celtics got revenge. They won. But there was a lot of things that kind of reared its ugly head, so to speak, in that game. James Harden with a lot of turnovers. Eric Gordon missing another game with injury. The fact that I mentioned this on the air the day after it happened, with Horford shooting threes and stretching the defense, the Rockets' only post defender was in Clint Capella, was out on the perimeter, and the lane was just wide open for layups all night long. I know teams go through these stretches, but what did you see when you saw that game the other night?
Well, you know, I don't think they're playing well. That's the first thing. That's pretty easy to identify. Not having Gordon really hurts them. I think James can have an off night if Gordon's out there playing really well. But this team is so dependent on James having a fantastic night every single night out. And, yeah, James had some bad turnovers and just didn't seem to be on the top of his game. And without Gordon there, I just don't think they have enough options that they can, you know, overcome that. And, I think it was tied up at 98 all. And then Boston went on like a, geez, I don't want to say
13-2.
Yeah, 12-13. Yeah, 13-2. And it was kind of, I thought there were some iffy shots by the Rockets, a couple turnovers. And it seemed like Boston took it up a level, and Houston just couldn't go with them. So they're struggling. But I think there's a lot of teams right now. I've often said, right before the All-Star break, it's the toughest time of the year. You kind of get the All-Star break, get some days off, get away. You come back, and all of a sudden you say, okay, you know, we have 27 games. A couple of week after the All-Star break, you get back playing. You know, you're at 24 games left before the playoffs start. It gets you going again. So they're going through some doldrums, but I just think that, hey, there's a team out there that needs to be saying we need another playmaker. It'll probably be Houston, not Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the same thing, and I get killed for it, but that's a different story. At the same time, when you...
Why do you get killed for that? It's true. Just needing another playmaker is not a terrible thing.
I'm being petty, and I'm picking on them. But, honesty is a hard pill to swallow sometimes. At the same time, too, when you look at this team, I look at the flip side and say, look, Boston's a team, and you know them very well, and you know Danny Ainge very well. But Boston's a team that's in the mix now, supposedly, for Carmelo Anthony, who Phil Jackson's trying to give away. But they're a team that really doesn't have a true superstar, per se, though Isaiah Thomas plays like one. It just seems to me like they have three guys that have just a large amount of toughness every single night in Crowder, in Marcus Smart, and in Isaiah Thomas. That's the mm-hmm. kind of thing that it seems like Houston's missing, too. Not only another playmaker, but another guy that's going to, not like a hockey goon, but a guy that's going to be an enforcer and say, you touch anybody on our team, and I'm going to knock your ass down.
He plays a lot of passion.
Right. Good call.
Yeah, and, throw Avery Bradley in that mix when he's healthy for Boston. And, I mean, they have a lot of guys that will get up into you and push you around and, you know, be physical with you. Yeah, I think that Trevor does that. I mean, Trevor's a tough, hard-nosed guy. He's a guy that on the Rockets, you know, assumes the responsibility of guarding the other team's top guy in the backcourt, whether it be a 1, 2, or 3. And you know, just you probably need some more guys like that would help the Rockets. You know, I think like a Smart or Jay Crowder. You know, those guys they get up in you and they make you uncomfortable. And that's the big thing. I thought earlier in the year, Boston wasn't making anybody uncomfortable. They weren't they weren't being, you know, rough and tumble guys. And now the last about month and a half, 2 months, they've got back to their identity of being rough and tumble. And yeah, I tell you, I've never been on a team where I said we have too many of those type guys. You need those type guys on their team, and you know, Houston could definitely use one or two.
Well, Coach, get yourself some chips and a bite of your sandwich. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll squeeze another quick segment in before you got to go and hit the little white ball. But we appreciate your time.
No problem.
Okay. Kevin McHale will be right back with us. We will be back in just a few minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blake, Travis Johnson, Nick Sciarra behind the glass, and of course a touch of class as we head on out to the desert to talk to our friend Coach McHale as Kevin joins us weekly, and he is getting ready for a tea time, so we're not going to keep him too much longer. But what better time to have lunch with Kevin McHale than on a Friday afternoon and talk some sports. Coach, another NBA story that popped up is this Carmelo Anthony thing. Your take on everything going on there. Phil Jackson seems to be shopping him, even though he's got a no trade, but it seems like he's kind of let it all run its course too. He might be fed up with everything that's going on in New York, and now the Clippers are getting in the mix, and it's supposed, the rumor is, they would not have to give up Griffin, Paul, or DeAndre Jordan in order to acquire a Carmelo. Would you do that?
No question.
And Travis Johnson already says no question.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see what they actually ask for him. I mean, I think if you're the Clippers, the only thing you got to worry about, you can make that trade, you know, try to win this year. If you don't win, you're not good enough to beat. I'm not sure that makes them good enough to beat Golden State, only because Chris Paul is a great passer. DeAndre Jordan is not a good passer. Carmelo can be a good passer, and soaking Griffin, but they're going to have to beat them with ball movement, body movement. They still need some shooters out there. If you put those four guys out there, not a lot of those guys, you know, are used to setting screens besides DeAndre Jordan. For other people, they still need shooters. And if you don't win and you give up all your draft choices, you give up all kinds of stuff, you sound a lot like the Brooklyn Nets right now, what they did when they tried to get KG and all those guys and tried to make a run, and the owner, Prokhorov, said, let's win a championship right now. So I would depend on what it is. I think Carmelo's not going to give up his trade clause, because it gives him a chance to say, I don't want to go to Sacramento. And so he'll keep that trade clause there. I think he's probably given Jackson permission to talk to, you know, half a dozen teams where he thinks he has a chance to win a championship. But, you know, like I said, if you're Doc Rivers and you're saying, well, I'm going all in for the next 2 years, I'm giving up first-round draft choices, I'm giving up this, I'm giving up that, and it doesn't work, boy, your future is really bleak. But it's something that, you know, it gives you a chance. I just don't know if that team can beat Golden State. So getting to the conference finals is an accomplishment, but, you know, it's winning it all is what you're doing when you're trying to make a trade like that.
Coach, now, you know, other stuff in the basketball news is the Rondo, Jimmy Butler, and D-Wade situation. How is that? Because it seems like to me trouble finds Rondo. I just want him to call him R.O., like, you know what I mean? Like the room obliterator, like T.O., you know what I mean? What's going on with this kid and about how he came at the other guys on the team?
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah, I don't think that anything that Rondo said was really wrong. His tweet or whatever he put out, I read it, and you know, he really said all the things that you would want your players to say about, we're a team, we win together, we lose together, our young guys are coming in, leadership comes from the top, it doesn't come from the bottom, if we're not winning, it's our top players, blah, blah, blah. But it just seems like it's the wrong messenger almost, you know, saying it. And I don't know if that words are going to ring true, if they're going to listen to it, or if it's just going to be another distraction. Because right now, I can't think of a team in our league, maybe New York, that can rival Chicago as something happening all the time, just kind of a dysfunction. And there's always something in the media, something happening on the team, it's just an odd team right now. They have strange chemistry. They're right around 500. They can get it together. But I do agree with Rondo on one thing. If you're not winning it's hard to look at your, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth man and say, boy, you got to play a lot better. When you're not winning, hey, first of all, when you are winning, your top players are playing really well and they're making everybody better. When you're not winning, it's normally your top players aren't playing well and they're not making their teammates good enough. Your job as a top player is to make them better on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, and that's why you're a top player. And that's why so many individually skilled players don't really win big in our league, because they have all the talent to win, but they just don't make their teammates better, and there's just not that vibe of togetherness and that you can win. And I don't see that in Chicago right now. But as far as what Rondo said, I agree with a lot of what he said. Is he the right messenger for that?
Well, and the other thing, Coach, that worries me is a guy that you know fairly well, but that doesn't speak well for Fred Hoiberg, because now it's basically forcing an issue in which they've already had today a whole bunch of in-house meetings. They're saying that they're considering releasing or trying to trade Rondo, but it just seems like you said, the drama is not going away in Chicago. It's only heating up, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel bad for Fred. I really do. Fred's a great guy. He really understands basketball. He's just he's a wonderful person. But you know, right now they're having all kinds of problems. I'm sure they're trying to figure it out. I don't know if they release Rondo. Again, he hasn't been playing much, and that's going to be a beef. They brought him in to be the starting point guard to go along with Butler and Wade, and it just hasn't worked. One thing, when I look at them from just a pure basketball standpoint, they miss a ton of wide open shots. Their spacing is solid. You know, they do some good stuff. If you can't make wide open shots, it's hard to coach, man. I'm telling you why. As a coach, you can only try to get those guys those shots. You can't make them for them. And so, like I say, they got issues, man. I'd say that's one of the reasons when people say, "Do you want to get back into coaching?" I say no.
I know you caught this the other night, but it had to somehow in the back of your mind or warm your heart a little bit to see your two old guys go off in New Orleans when they beat the Cavaliers, because Demo had a really solid night with 14-5, but more importantly, Terrence Jones had just a monster. 15 of the first 19. I think he had 36 points, double-digit rebounds, and those two guys really did a number on the Cavs.
Yeah, I really like both those guys. They're really likable guys. Demo is really dependable. Terrence is a great guy. He just goes up and down. I've always said the thing about Terrence, he'll play 5-6 games in a row and think, okay, Terrence has really turned a corner. And then he has a game where you're like, what happened? I mean, you know, so Terrence has just been up and down. But he's a great guy to be bringing off your bench, or a guy that you can say, we're going to throw out there. We're going to see how he gets going. If he gets going, he can really play. He just has too many up and down games for me. You know, Demo's more solid across the board. His shot may go in and may not go in. But he's just one of those solid guys. But they're both great kids. I mean, I enjoyed both of them a ton. I really like both of them. And I think both of them are really good NBA players. And I was happy to see them play so well together. And I see now that they're starting to play them a little bit together. It gives you, you know, Demo's never been a great rebounder. You know, he'll protect the basket by putting his body in your way and trying to take charges. But you know, if he and TJ can get they can rebound the ball well on the defensive end, they give you a lot of problems on the offensive end. They both can handle the ball. They both can play outside. And they both got a little post game.
Well, Coach, we know you got to go, so make sure you keep your balls clean after each and every hole.
I tell you what, I do that. I do that religiously.
All right, make sure you don't improve your lie, because if guys are watching, they'll think that you might need some kind of medication.
Don't improve his lie. We don't want no alternative facts.
That's right. No alternative facts.
Alternative facts flying around. All right, fellas, take care.
Thanks, Coach. Have a good weekend. Kevin McHale right here on ESPN 97.5 as he joins us here on the Joel Blank Show every single week.